Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Very good afternoon and welcome to the IPL show here on TalkSport 2. Every Monday we'll be here to look at the news and the stories from one of the world's most glamorous sporting events. This weekend was the opener for the delayed tournament. It wasn't even in India, but it was just as dramatic and contentious. Over the next hour, the former England fast bowler Steve Harmison and myself, Andrew McKenna, will take you through all of it. And we'll also look ahead at action coming up over the next few days. Indian cricket writer Chetan Narula will be joining us for his thoughts, while Harmy will cast his eyes over the English players' performances so far. It's the IPL show here on TalkSport 2.
Gotten miles.
Marcus Stoinis, moves to 52 of 20. What a wonderful half century that is. 157 for 8. 158 required.
Oh, beautiful delivery. An outstanding delivery.
He's got him. He's gone straight through.
It's all the way. It is all the way. Six more for Mayank Agarwal, and he'll pick up a half century. What a valuable one this is. Right, last over anyway. Stoinis, up, up, and away. Gets it over the top. It's in the gap. No, the one man, that is out on the boundary has taken the catch. Oh, he's gone. He's gone. We are going to a super over. You cannot believe it. Marcus Stoinis. Oh, it's all over. In three deliveries has gone bang bang. The equation, just three, should be one. No, they'll come back for two and that'll be game over. For Rishabh Pant and the Delhi Capitals, they breathe a sigh of relief. You can see that relief on Marcus Stoinis' face. He was so good tonight.
Very good afternoon to you. The IPL show here on TalkSport 2. That was game number two of the tournament, the Delhi Capitals and the Kings 11 of Punjab. It went to a super over. What a way to start it. The fact that the Delhi Capitals were even in with a chance of winning the game the way they started it was frankly ridiculous. But they not only were in it, they went on to win it. And they therefore get their first win. And that followed the Chennai Super Kings winning the match and tournament opener on Saturday. They were in Abu Dhabi and beat the Mumbai Indians. We'll come on to that in a moment. Delighted to say Steve Harmison is with me this afternoon. Harmy, long time no speak. How are you? And great to have some top-class sport once again.
Yeah, definitely, Marco. Good afternoon. Good afternoon to you and everybody. Oh, it was fantastic, wasn't it? You don't really want to talk about Mumbai Indians, Chennai, do we really? Because what happened yesterday was that good. I even watched a rerun of it. I'm nearly finished through rerunning it now. It's just, it was such a bizarre game. The new ball, you know, I did a bit, and then you're thinking one team's going to win it, the other team doesn't want to win it. And then even after the last, I think, 47 off three overs at the end, thinking they've got no chance, and then they needed five or four balls. So, you know, nobody really wanted to grab the game by the scruff of the neck. It was a fantastic spectacle yesterday. Both games have been great, to be fair. And like you say, even though there's no crowd, the atmosphere still seems to be good, what you're getting off the TV. And, you know, the level of performance hasn't really disappointed, especially from the overseas stars.
Let's be brutally honest about this. The Delhi Capitals' early doors were absolute rubbish.
Yeah.
Shikhar, Prithvi Shaw and Hetmeyer, I don't know what was going through their head. I would actually venture to suggest very little, because they looked like there was very little planning. They were guys coming out who haven't played cricket, at least in terms of Prithvi Shaw and Shikhar Dhawan. At least Shimmer and Hetmeyer has been around the West Indies matches in England. But they looked like guys who hadn't played for ages. It was like watching a Three Musketeers film. There were so many flashing blades. It was remarkable. So 13 for 3, at least that became 86 for 4. So I'll be honest with you, I thought, well, I'd be panicking if I was the TV producers, because I'm thinking, what are we going to do to fill up the time here?
Absolutely. But when I look at this, the Delhi Capitals, and you look at the side, and you, to be fair, you look at the 22-man squad they've got, and I just see so much explosive batting. I see, you know, they're going to get me on the edge of the edge of your seats. It's going to be great to watch up and down, because the simple fact is, it's a very young side. You know, I'm pretty sure very young. Shikhar Dhawan's experienced. He's been around a long, 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 long time, especially in the IPL and the white former cricket. But he is basically six or out at the start of the innings, and he made his name opening a batting with David Warner up at Hyderabad, up at the Sunrisers. But you look at Hetmeyer, we've seen him on TalkSport 2 in the Caribbean. He is six or out. And then you've got Rashid Pant, who comes in at number 5. He's another one, six or out. Marcus Stoinis, we've seen a little glimpse in England this year. He's another big hitting batsman who won the game for the Delhi Capitals, to be fair. And Shiraz Ira, who, again, is a young, young player. So they've got a very, very young side. Throwing in with Rabada and Nokia, who we've seen, obviously, in the winter. It was a huge blow from Ravi Ashwin having to go off and potentially missing the rest of the tournament if he's dislocated his shoulders. But this is a young side who potentially could, like you say, Macca, could get bowled out for 60, but also could get 220, 240 in an innings over in the Middle East. And it could be great to watch. It could be an outside bet for a team who has, you know, probably not got the big fancy names, but could be a dark horse, because on their day, this team could beat anybody.
As I mentioned, they were an absolute shambles. 86 for 4, 87 for 5, 96 for 6. And Marcus Stoinis then takes over. 53 from 21 balls, 7 fours and 3 sixes. It's fair to say he changed the course of that game, because, let's be honest, they were going to be struggling to make 130, and there's no way 130 was going to be competitive. But as we just see it, the last couple of overs, if you get that momentum going into the innings break, it just seems to do funny things.
Definitely, and what he did was he took it out on Chris Jordan, England's Chris Jordan, at the end there. Like you say, I think he hit 36 off Jordan's last 9 balls, which is, yeah, that's game changer, that's a game winner. But, you know, absolutely what you said there is perfectly right. When they're listening to the commentary team, 14-15 overs in, they're saying they've got to try and make it competitive, the Delhi Capitals. They've got to try and get to 120, 125, 130, give them something to bowl at and still be, you know, a chance of winning the game. And all of a sudden, Stoinis goes berserk and puts them in a position where talk about momentum. Yes, it's huge in 2020 cricket, but you still thought the Delhi Capitals were 15 runs short. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure Ricky Ponting at halftime talking to his team saying, we're going to have to fight tooth and nail. We're going to have to, you know, every run in the field, scrap like anything. And hopefully Rabada gets us off to a good start like he can do with a white ball. Because I still believe, you know, Ponting and Ayo would have said, captain and coach, we're 10-15 runs short here. We've got to really stick together and do the second half well, which they did.
In fairness to Chris Jordan, I don't think he was helped out. I'm not sure KL Rahul had his best day as a captain, because the field was neither Arthur or Martha half the time, and I'm not entirely sure Chris Jordan knew where he was supposed to be bowling. But anyway, the Kings 11 had to get off to a decent start, and promptly didn't. 1 for 30, 2 down for 33, 3 down for 34, 4 down for 35, as Rahul, Nair, Puran and Maxwell all went. But Mayank Agarwal, what an innings from him. 89 from 60, 7 fours and 4 sixes for him. I mean, that was a heck of a knock. And I'm afraid to say, you've then got to ask the question, when we get to a super over, Why was he not used?
Yeah, that was bizarre. There was some bizarre thinking. To be fair, Mac, I've worked on the IPL now for about 7 or 8 years on the TV and on the radio, different formats. And some of the things that I think is common sense, and some of the things that you expect to happen don't happen. You cannot predict what's going to happen in this IPL with, you know, some of the thinking from either Indian backroom team, the coaches, some of the Indian captains and the senior players. So that was a surprise. He played magnificent. He learned what happened in the first innings. He said, it's going to be tough against the new ball. You know, you've got Rabada, you've got Nokia, who have got a bit of pace. Let's see them off and see if we can take the game deep. We've seen what Stoinis did. And I thought Agarwal played fantastically well because, you know, he was going to run a ball for about the first 25, 30 runs. So didn't really, he was going to be the glue that held them all together. And there were some poor shots in there. Nicholas Pooran missed a straight one really off Ashwin. And to be fair, it was a good job from the Kings 11 that the Delhi Capitals captain had to go off because he looked as though he had the bit between his teeth, because remember, in the last few years, he has captained the Kings 11 in the IPL. So poor shot from Maxwell. Narayan, the same. You say they got off to a poor start, but they were 30 for none.
Yeah.
The 30 for none, getting through that new ball. And Agarwal's thinking, right, let's build from this. And all of a sudden, you know, 55 for five, and it's a whole different ball game, having to try and take the game as deep as I possibly can.
Now, of course, they finished one run short because it finished level at 157 apiece. And then we come to the very, let's just say there's been an almighty hoo-ha about this on social media, because during the run chase, while Mayank Agarwal and Chris Jordan were together, the ball was squeezed down to long on, and it appeared that the batsman had taken two. However, Nitin Menon, the umpire, decided that Chris Jordan hadn't managed to put his bat down over the line and signalled one short. Now, we've all seen the replays and the footages and the stills. He clearly wasn't one short. Yeah. He did ground it. I mean, Scott Styris, should I say, on Twitter said, terrible decision. But he did then make the point, however, if you need one run off the last two balls and you don't win, you only have yourself to blame. And I'll be honest with you, I think he's right on both points there.
Definitely, definitely, Mackie. You can't...
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Say we lost the game because of an umpiring decision like that. One run, two balls. Yeah, the batting team wins 99 times out of 100. It was bizarre. It was a little. To be fair, the whole game was bizarre, but it was an added extra to a bizarre bit of play. But you know, Styris is right. What he's saying, you've got the game by the scruff of the neck. You've sort of clutched it from defeat. And all of a sudden, you know, you've thrown your chance away to win the match. So it was just bizarre all round. I'm not sure what the umpire was thinking or what he was doing. But like I said, that's what happens sometimes in IPL cricket.
I think we're going to have to come back to this one as it goes on, because I think it's worth discussing this. And also, what is and isn't the third umpire allowed to review? Because everyone's like, well, why can't the third umpire? As I understand it, I don't think the rules actually allow the third umpire.
I don't think you can, no. No, definitely can't.
So we need to get in. We need to get into all of this. We're going to be speaking with Chetan Narullan next, though, the Indian cricket writer, on the first weekend, and find out how the Indian public have taken to the tournament being back, but the IPL, of course, not being in the eye part of the IPL. That's coming next on TalkSport 2.
Has gone bang bang.
Have a look at this. Stumps everywhere.
Yeah, there will always be nerves, no matter, well, at least for me, no matter how long I play. When things get tight the way they were in this game, there will always be nerves. Luckily, it came off today.
I can't believe Kagiso Rabada ever gets nervous, but apparently he said there were a few nerves. Of course, he was the man who was entrusted with the super over in yesterday's game, and he saw it through. And congratulations to him for doing that. It was a fantastic game of cricket. The IPL backing up and running for this year. Underway, of course, being played in the UAE. Three venues being used. Dubai, Abu Dhabi and Sharjah are the three locations, as India hasn't been deemed safe enough for the tournament to take place. Let's speak to the Indian cricket writer, Chetan Narullan, who, delighted to say, is joining us. Chetan, thanks very much for joining us. First of all, how have the Indian public sort of taken to this year's IPL, in the fact that they must be delighted that there is cricket being played, but of course it's not in India, it's out in the UAE. Are they just delighted that they've got something to watch again?
Hello, Andrew. Thanks for having me. That's the common sentiment amongst the cricket lovers, really, because you either have news channels about the COVID-19, pandemic, or worrying about the economy and everything. People working from home, nowhere to go, really. Although the lockdown has been lifted in India, but most of the people are working from home as and when they can. So it's a good distraction, really. Last 5 months, no sport. All we have seen is the English summer of cricket, maybe some football and Formula One, but it's good to have some Indian cricketers back on the television at least.
I suppose as well, it works very well for you in the fact that the time difference is perfect. It still works for Indian TV. Everyone can watch it in the evenings. But the one thing, I mean, the heat and the humidity in the UAE at the moment is absolutely brutal, isn't it? And that is going to have a big effect on these games.
Oh, absolutely. I think only Sri Lanka and UAE were in contention for hosting the IPL if it went outside India. Sri Lanka possibly would have been more suited because of the temperature conditions and the weather conditions, because I've been to the UAE to 2018 Asia Cup, and 6 p.m. starts over there. It was just too much for somebody who's just watching, sitting in the press box or going to the game. I can't even imagine, being on the ground in that heat and humidity, for three and a half hours and playing international cricket, really. But professional cricketers have a job to do. UAE was a good location in that particular sense, because you have those three venues. You don't really have to fly between Sharjah, Dubai and Abu Dhabi. You just get on a bus. There are a lot of hotels. You can create those bio bubbles for the broadcasters and the sponsors and the officials, for the BCCI people and for the 8 teams. So it was well suited in that particular manner. And like you said, the timing really worked out, and I hope the cricketers have worked enough on their fitness in the last 5 months to last the next 2 months, because it is going to be really hot and humid in the UAE during this time.
I mean, just to give people an idea, I'm just looking at the weather forecast for Dubai for today and tomorrow. For tomorrow, they're talking about 40 degrees. Now, you throw in the humidity on that as well. That is ridiculous. How's it working with regard to the fans for this one? Because I think I'm right in saying that they are actually playing crowd noise in the stadium, aren't they? We've seen, obviously, with the Premier League football in the UK, that they're playing crowd noise, but only on the TV broadcast. Am I right in saying they're actually playing some crowd noise in the stadium?
I'm not sure about the stadium. From what I gathered, they are playing some music and creating the ambient atmosphere that you would usually find, when you go and visit an IPL game or watch an IPL game while in India. I think that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to create that ambience. But as far as the television broadcast is concerned, that yes, you compare it with the Premier League or even the English summer. I understand Sky Sports had this red button where you could hear the Lords crowd humming, that sort of a thing. So they are replicating that. They have some fan videos, fan cams. A lot of the franchisees have accumulated that, and they are putting it out there. They have their digital presence as well. So as far as the broadcast is concerned, yes, they are simulating those fan chants and everything. But I'm not sure about the fans' chants at the stadium. The music is there. They're trying to create the ambience, the festival atmosphere. And in the first two games, it's actually worked so far, I would say.
Chiti, what about the tactics from the team's point of view and sort of selections of overseas for different games? Because it is a lot different. When the auction came about, they were playing in India. Now they're playing in the UAE. So the pitches are a bit different. Do you think we'll see the first two or three rounds of matches where, it's basically a free-for-all? You'd expect one team, Kings 11 to beat Delhi or Mumbai to beat Chennai or opposite way around. But you'll see a lot of upsets because players getting used to the surroundings, the pitches, and the size of the grounds now?
Well, first of all, I'll say hi to you because it's been a while since we've been in touch. It's been a while. It was a bit of a quandary, really, because nobody knew that they would be taking the IPL out of the country when the auctions happened. Almost every team sorted themselves out in terms of their home conditions and obviously the away conditions and wherever they're going to play in India. For example, Mumbai Indians, you look at the Wankhede and it's a flat pitch at times and it's mostly supporting paces and everything. And they're a bit lightweight on their spin, in their spin department, but they're really well placed when it comes to pace. And when they had the opportunity of replacing Lasith Malinga after moving to the UAE, they called James Patterson. So it was a bit surprising. In the first 2 days, I have been a bit surprised because in both the games, all the sides have gone for three frontline pacers, a medium pacer all-rounder. Spin has taken a bit of a backseat. The BCCI has flown their pitch curating team, and they've left a bit of grass in both Dubai and Abu Dhabi. They've left a bit of grass on the pitch. I am personally thinking it's because they want those pitches to last because it's a 60-day tournament. We're just in September. It's just 21st of September, and the final is on 10th of November. It's going to be a very, very long tournament, and just three stadiums. They're going to keep using those pitches again and again and again. So this leaving the grass bit is probably to do with making those pitches, making that square last at those three grounds, and it has allowed the teams to at least start off in the manner they would have if they had played in India, with the three pacers or having two spinners, two frontline paces, a medium pace all-rounder, that way. So it's an intriguing mix. As the tournament goes on, yes, the pitches will slow down, undoubtedly. It's never easy to score in the UAE. And I don't expect too high scores. I think 160 would be a par score, especially in the second half of the tournament.
Chetan, you were just talking about the makeup of the teams there. And obviously, a lot of the players haven't been able to play middle cricket. They've been netting for a while. The English and the Australian players, some of the West Indians, have obviously had some cricket over the English summer. Do you think that maybe we'll see quite heavily dominated sides with English and Australian players because they are game sharp? Or is there actually more a case for saying, well, you are game sharp, we need to get the rest of the squad up to speed? Do you think that some teams will rely very heavily on the English and Australians, or do you think that they might go the other way?
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you there. In fact, I tweeted about it as well, and I call it the Sam Curran trend, because in the first game, the Mumbai Indians and CSK game, Dhoni sent up Sam Curran ahead of himself. And yes, I mean, there were not too many runs were needed, and it was required the finishing touch. But Sam Curran has been in the English setup over the summer. Maybe he did not play too many games, but still, he's been there. He's been match fit. He's been mentally fit. Match fitness, I think, is of more importance than anything else right now, because a lot of the Indian cricketers, a lot of South African cricketers and cricketers from other part of the world, they haven't really played. Australian cricketers, yes, they've been active for 3 weeks. The CPL cricketers, probably they have played more cricket than anybody else. And the English cricketers and, Pakistan cricketers, obviously not here, but the West Indies cricketers and English cricketers probably have played the most cricket of anyone. So, yes, I see a premium on those players. Even yesterday, Marcus Stoinis, I mean, astonishing touch for him. For example, Johnny Bairstow, he's going to start. I'm not sure if he's going to start today. I wasn't sure what the quarantine rules are, because Jos Buttler will not play the first game for Rajasthan Royals, but probably Johnny Bairstow will play today. I'm not sure. But if he does play, I expect him to play a good role, because he's been in good nick, he's been in good form. Maybe not too much deep into the tournament. Maybe the first 2 weeks, these players who've had this experience or who are match fit, they will be at a premium. All these West Indian players or the English players, I think they will be at a premium and will have an impact on the early impact on the tournament.
And Cheetan, what about that game yesterday? It was a case of who doesn't want to win it, to be fair. You know, you talk about the grass on the pitches, that helped the Seamers up front. But, you know, second game into the tournament, goes into a super over. Stoinis, a fantastic, fantastic innings. Agarwal, same, a fantastic innings. But I think the big question is, why did Kings 11 not send Agarwal back out for the super over instead of going with Kale Rahul, Maxwell and Puran?
Well, it's a big mystery, really, because everybody's been wondering that. And the answer that I'm getting from a few quarters is that he was absolutely knackered, because he was in the field there for 20 overs and then he batted for 20 overs because he opened the innings. And that's where, you know, Andrew's first question about the heat and humidity comes into play, because somebody who's batted 40 overs, he was just in no condition to bat one more over, because you don't really get to see this. Somebody who scored at a strike rate of 150 scores 80 of 60 balls, and yet he is not part of the super over. So it was really, really weird to see. And of course, it was the wrong call. Maybe I'm being harsh here. I mean, Steve can correct me if possible. But as a professional cricketer, I would expect him to go on for another six deliveries. Really, especially because Kings 11 Punjab were batting first in the super over. If they were batting second in the super over, I would understand. Yes, he batted in the first innings and batting second in the super over, it didn't really make sense. But because it was a continuation almost of their innings, I was really surprised. But yes, what a bonkers, bonkers game. Absolutely bonkers. Delhi Capitals throwing it away with their top order. They have such a great team. But some of those shots, that their shot selection was so questionable. And they were saved by Stoinis. Nobody expected them to score 150, then saved by Rabada on a couple of occasions. Kings 11 saved by Mayank Agarwal. What a fantastic knock. But like you said, yes, nobody really wanted to win that game.
First ball of the Dream 11 IPL. And what a start from Rohit Sharma. Oh, through mid-wicket this time from Quinton de Kock.
Should be out. So Piyush Chawla strikes and it's the first wicket down.
Oh, hello. Maximum up in the air and taken.
This is a terrific catch. Very, very good catch.
Nicked and gone this time. Mumbai Indians have set 162 for 9, so Chennai will need 163 to take the first game of this Dream 11 IPL.
Oh, has to be. If he hasn't hit it, it's very close and it's been given. Close again. And this time it's dead.
Wow! And Bundy Raidu who brings up 50.
For us, he's been nothing short of fantastic. And again today, he turned the game around, and his experience and also his skill set was a major part for us to win today.
That is a cracking maximum. Well, he goes again. Has he got hold of it? Of course he has! And that's four of them. They'll need one more. And there it is. So after five consecutive losses to Mumbai Indians, Chennai Super Kings have turned the table.
Yeah, the Super Kings were victorious in the first game of IPL 2020. They beat the Mumbai Indians by 5 wickets. Mumbai posting 162 for 9. Subra Tiwari made 42. Quinton de Kock made 33. There were a few others chipped in. In reply, the Super Kings 166 for 5 to win with 4 balls to spare. Ambati Rayudu made 71. Faf du Plessis 58 not out. And Sam Curran most definitely chipped in. It was only 18, but off 6 balls. 1-4, 2 sixes, and he went in above MS Dhoni, as we were just talking with Cheetan. I think, actually, let's hear from Sam Curran discussing the fact that he has joined the Super Kings and going in above the great man.
I was actually really excited when I was coming to Chennai, but I landed day before yesterday, so I was straight in, haven't actually met a lot of the guys, just straight on the bus, and it probably worked out for me. I didn't actually have to think about my game too much, just went out there and do what I do.
Yeah, and we were saying right the way through, you were the ultra competitor. We won't forget that hat trick you got last year. And guess what? You've demoted Dhoni down the order.
Yeah, to be honest, very surprised I went in. But, yeah, he's a genius and he obviously thought something. But, yeah, great win in the end and great start.
Sam Curran speaking with Michael Slater during the coverage of that one. Steve Harmison, by comparison of Sunday's game, Saturday's was, well, I suppose, a great deal more straightforward in many respects. And in some way, maybe lacked some of the drama of the Sunday game.
It did, yeah, but there's still, similar-ish games. You know, team struggling to get off the start with a new ball. It's an interesting one, the Chennai's, because it's, like I talked about before, how impressed are, I think, the explosiveness and the youthfulness of Delhi. Chennai's the other way. They're experienced. They've been here before. A lot of very senior characters. And the minute Sam Curran got picked up for Chennai, I was over the moon. I was really, really pleased for him. Not just for the young man, his bank balance or anything like that, but he's going to play and learn off some fantastic people. Great player. Shane Watson, he got the mick taken out of him sometimes in Test match cricket, getting his padding away, but that guy's had a stellar white ball career. And Shane Watson's a fantastic player, all-rounder. His knowledge of the game, especially in tight situations with IPL in 2020. Faf du Plessis, South African captain, Jadeja. I just need to say his name, Mahendra Singh Dhoni. To sit next to Mahendra Singh Dhoni for 14 games in a dressing room, you can not only learn. So this is a great thing, not just for Sam Curran, but I actually think it is very, very good for English cricket that Sam's going to get this experience. And for him to go in ahead of MS Dhoni, you could potentially see that it was left-hand, right-hand. Jadeja got out, so Curran went in for the left-hand, right-hand seemed to work for that short period of time between du Plessis and Jadeja. So you can see why that happened, and he got a brisk 18. Like Cheetan mentioned before, he's been playing cricket. So all in all, it was a fantastic day for the young man, because he chipped in for what were 1 for 28 of his 4 overs as well. So all the England players, I've been saying it for ages, Macca, before they all got snapped up, and this is where we want our English players to play. I know there's been a lot of criticism about county cricket, and they should be playing county cricket and not going off and playing the IPL. Even John Cleese, the great comedian, even John Cleese, Basil Fawlty, had a go at Tom Banton for not playing in the Bob Willis Trophy. But for me, if they can play IPL cricket, if they're available to play IPL cricket, and they're not, then it's not sort of taking away what they're doing from international cricket. These young players have got to play from an English point of view, because it's only going to make them better.
Now, as a former fast bowler yourself, you've got to be delighted with what we've seen in these opening two games. Lungi Ngidi, James Patterson, Jaspreet Bumrah, Mohit Sharma, Kagiso Rabada, Mohammed Shami. These are proper fast bowlers. Aymeric Nourkia, of course. Mm. Now, there is a proper fast bowlers, and it would appear the conditions are actually going to give them something in return. It just seems to level up the bat and ball dynamic, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And like Cheetan mentioned before, as long as there's keeping grass on the surfaces, because they've got to keep the pitches going, each team plays 14 games, only at 3 venues, you're probably looking at, I've only been at Dubai National Stadium a couple of times. There's probably only about 5 or 6 pitches where you think they're in the middle where the TV cameras can work. Abu Dhabi, there's probably only about 3-4, and Sharjah might be a few more. So you're only looking at maybe 10 pitches to get all these games on. So I can see early part of the tournament, you are going to play with grass on the pitch just to keep the pitch together. You're probably not going to see as many spin bowlers bowling in the first six power play. So like Cheetan said, you're going to see a lot of seam bowlers bowl with a brand new ball for six overs. And what you have to have, if you're going to be one of them, you have to be either ridiculously accurate bowling anywhere near around about off stump and have a bit of height about you to make the ball move or to make the ball bounce, or you've got to be fast. And that's what I like to see. There's nothing better. Maka, we've seen it so far in the English summer. It's a different game. England play a different game when Wood and Archer play. It is a completely different game. This is, you know, off bums off seat, you know, at the end of your seat, thinking, right, you know, the pierce against the big bats, short boundaries. There's nothing better. And like you said before, I thought Trent Bolt and James Pattinson bowled absolutely beautifully at the top of the order against Chennai Super Kings. Bumrah didn't sort of hit his straps, but again, you know, you're talking about bowlers getting into their rhythm. So it's going to be interesting. It could be a tale of two halves, this Indian Premier League, where the first five or six round of games are played, where seam bowlers do well in the first six. And as the pitches get worn and as the pitches, you know, get a little bit drier and as the pitches get the grass taken off them, then you might see spin coming into it. So it's going to be interesting tactically. But what we've seen so far, you know, seam bowlers have got to be right on their mettle and they've got to have some pace about them, because if not, they can go the journey.
Now, we touched on earlier the one short in the Kings 11 game against the Delhi Capitals, and there's been so much talk about this. It is worth explaining that the third umpire just can't unilaterally get involved with something and go, get onto the talk back button to the umpire and go, hang on a minute, chaps, hang. It doesn't work like that, does it? So, for all the, well, he needs to, whatever, he can't. If the rules don't allow him to, he can't do that.
No, he can't, but I think he can if he asks for it, but he didn't ask for it.
And that is the thing for me, Harmy.
Huge problem.
You've touched on the point that I was going to make here, and that is, how many times have we seen a run out where the batsman's bat is level with the stumps, i.e. a foot and a half over the crease line, but they refer that. Now, this one was close. He's also, if you look, because of the locked off square camera, he has to stand a meter off of the straight line so that the camera gets an unimpeded view. Okay, fine, totally understand that. I'm absolutely astonished that they didn't think, right, let's just double check that. You could easily have it as an umpire's check. If you can check a run out, you can check a stumping. It's a line decision. It's a huge call at that point in the game. So while the third umpire can't go in, surely the umpire himself has to make the signal and say, I want to make a check on this because I want to be absolutely sure.
Yeah, you'd think top international umpires would be bit calmer, bit cooler, bit collective, and just go, you know what, that didn't look right. Because, Mac, it's about the sort of eye perception. I can't believe he was just watching that line for the batsman just to tap in and go again. He'd have been watching the game, he'd have been watching what's going on, and as he sort of, the batsman's tapped in, visually, he thought, oh, that didn't look right, I think he was short there. Now, as an umpire, you would think, well, I'm just going to check this. And like you say, has the game situation got to him? Has the pressure got to the umpire? Because it certainly got to the players. And like you say, the third umpire can only come in. The only time he can come in without being asked is no balls now. The no ball rule is now, it's on the third umpire. That's the only thing that's in. Everything else you have to ask for. If there's a catch that you're not sure of, you make the signal to the third umpire and the umpire on the field gives a soft signal, either out or not out. That's now in the laws of the game. Everything is like that. You can ask the third umpire for anything you want. So I just think the umpire maybe is just, he got caught up in the emotion. And he's seen something that didn't look quite right, thought, well, that's one short, I'm going to make the signal without consulting his man at the other end or the guy in the sky. So, you know, for me, it was It was a disappointing end towards a game which was which built was an absolutely fantastic game and a talking point we didn't really need to have a talking point on. And I agree with Scott Cyrus. One off two balls, you should win the game from there anyway. So I don't think it lost the game for them. But at the end of the day, it was a talking point that this game didn't need.
And by the way, while I'm getting things off my chest, no balls being called by the third umpire. We saw it. Now, it might not have changed things anyway, but Marcus Stoinis was run out off of a no ball. Now, he's going for two to come back anyway. But if the umpire, the standing umpire, is calling that, Stoinis, in another situation, might not come back for the second. As I say, it's the final ball. He's going hell for leather for it. He's going for it anyway because of the situation of the game. But this is my one concern about the umpire not calling the no ball and it being done later, is the fact that, well, he's now run out. He might not, in another situation, might not have taken that second run. And therefore, the only way you can be out off a no ball is run out. And I think there's an issue there.
Yeah, but I think another thing is it's going to happen. You know, that's happened once in a while. But how many times have you seen the no ball not given? I just think it's one of them situations where I think you take that out the equation from an umpire and let the guy in the sky make the cut. You know, it's categorically right as opposed to like what we've seen with the one shot and umpire guessing basically. So I know what you mean and I can understand what you're saying, and Mark Stoinis is probably sitting with his pads off thinking, you know what, I wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have taken that second run. But at the end of the day, I think over the course of a six, eight-week tournament of the IPL or cricket going forward, I actually think it's beneficial for the game to have the third umpire take the no-ball call, because you want to get it right every time. If he sticks his arm out and it's not a no-ball, and I just think it's a grey area. It's now a categorically, bang, this is what the case is. We know the rules. And if his foot's over the line, the third umpire is the one that makes the decision.
Steve Harmison and myself, Andrew McKenna, with you on the IPL show. We're here every Monday at 1 o'clock to take you through all of the stories and news from the IPL. If you missed any of it, you can listen back via the Following On feed. It's now available for free on the TalkSport app.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.